Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
We've been missing more than just your bodies, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore is also here.
All right.
And it's Atomic Dog himself. It's Pete Donaldson.
Golan Duck. Atomic Dog.
That's right.
Wow.
Incidentally, if you listen to Atomic Dog by George Clinton, you will see where Snoop Dogg nicked a load of stuff.
Yeah. Do you mean sampled?
Sampled and paid for, presumably, because that's libelous.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. Dre and Snoop Dogg nicked all that stuff from, like, sort of G-Funk and Parliament and Funkadelic and stuff like that, and George Clinton, of course.
There you go. Yeah. So check that out for yourselves. Roma drew 1-1 with Torino on the weekend. My goodness, what a draw. This probably won't have appeased their fans, the Roma fans, too much, who have been very angry with recent performances. We know this because some Roma fans ridiculed their team after losing to Atalanta at home and Barcelona 6-1. Not a shame to lose to Barcelona, but 6-1 is a bit poor. They ridiculed the team by blocking the entrance of the club's training ground with 50 kilograms worth of carrots in crates with an accompanying banner saying, "Eat up, rabbits."
I mean, that's only like two crates of carrots.
I think there's about seven. They were small.
I used to order pick.
I saw the picture, mate.
Did you? Right.
Yeah, well, you need to ascertain the size of the crates, Pete, clearly.
Yeah, well, about that big. About the size of a crib. Imagine a crib with carrots in it.
Yeah.
About two of them.
A crib?
Not many of them.
Marcus has seen the picture.
Yeah.
Right. Seven.
That's right.
I just think there might be potatoes underneath.
And you, my man, have a very checkered past with vegetables.
Hello.
So.
Have I?
So,
we'll eat up, rabbit. All right. So then, if you wanted to ridicule a team or some players, then how would you do it, Jim?
Well, football is very much a sort of second screen sport now, isn't it? There's a lot of stuff that happens in games that people, you know, get on board with. So I would do
a very
complicated hacking system where if a team, let's say Chelsea, because it's funny to kick them while they're down, let's just say them. If, say, like a player misplaces a pass in a game or something like that, like their live stats in a game drop for whatever reason, their Google searches just go up on the screen.
Oh, my God, this is my answer.
You're being serious?
Oh, no. Pornhub searches.
Yes,
no,
hang on.
It's should be contractual.
Hang on, we'll get to yours.
Well, I'm just telling you, I haven't got one now.
Just team up.
Yeah, just team up.
Yeah,
we'll submit the same pizza. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Pizza. He didn't even give away the points last week. Don't worry about it.
Because it's a rollover this week.
If I pad my answer out of it, you've got more than enough time to think of another one. You're a radio professional.
And you're often unprepared.
Pad it up.
So, Jim, carry on.
So, yeah, I mean,
quick as you like, Jim. I wasn't.
Yeah, let's get him out of the way.
I wasn't going to go for the porn angle. But
that's what I mean.
I mean, it's down. Who knows? Who knows what these people have been searching? Ooh. Maybe it could be that angle. Maybe it's like, why is Diego Costa looking into the price and availability of inflatable ladies? Oh, what's going on? That, I mean, it would play on your mind, wouldn't it? You would make sure to hit your stats.
That angle is saved for Pete, isn't it? In this,
just have a load, of Arsenal players just Google image searching the human skeleton.
What's this lump about?
Yeah. Oh dear.
Or like, John Terry's really, really into UFO conspiracies. That's mental.
Oh, Jack Wilshere's searching for NHS Direct again.
Chelsea.
Chelsea. Yeah.
You'd think they would be on private medical insurance, though, wouldn't you?
Well, you'd certainly hope so, Marcus.
Yeah. Well, at Arsenal,
Maybe they're not.
At Arsenal, it must come with the gig, surely.
Yeah. Maybe they just don't have physios. It's just a GP, like a really overworked GP in North London.
Yeah, maybe they're really sort of left wing. Like, Corbyn's a big fan of Arsenal, isn't he? So
he is.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Well done, Arsenal.
Well, you're suggesting that left wing people don't get ill. Is that what you're saying?
No, they wouldn't go private.
Oh, okay.
My suggestion is.
Okay, right.
Anyway, that's my answer. Luke, what have you got?
Yeah. Hang on. I move things on here, Jim. Are you finished? Yeah, Luke, go.
Sorry, Jimmy, you ready for me to go?
Yeah, go for it, mate.
Okay, go, Luke.
Make them all wear a Newcastle United kit. Pete!
You looked at your phone for that, like you'd written it down.
I wanted to get
pathetic.
The wording right.
Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic.
Come on, what you got?
Axel Foley. That film, Banana in the Tailpipe, in everyone's car.
Oh, good.
Bang!
See?
There's nothing.
Tailpipe, American thing. Exhaust pipe.
You can't make a quick getaway when your tailpipes are blocked up with bananas. So
this is Beverly Hills Cop, the first one, isn't it? Where he puts bananas in the guy's exhaust pipe.
Yes.
Sorry,
exactly.
You're not talking about your IBS again, are you?
Good. Bananas in the tailpipe, did you say?
Bananas in the tailpipe.
Or the exhaust pipe, not the euphemism.
You turned that round. Well done.
Well,
very good.
I knew you
were. I'm a radio professional, Luke.
Yeah.
I don't need stuff written down on a phone. I printed it out.
It's typed, isn't it?
Five of those are showing, you're away. Now, I thought of a couple of ideas. I thought, if Joe Hart makes another error, then wait for him at the training ground, cover him with talcum powder and sing... There is dandruff, you know, like the Head and Shoulders advert. Have you seen that?
Well, they did that at the match over the weekend. It was Stoke City, wasn't it? Stoke Man City, sorry, Jesus Christ. Stoke City, Man City, oh God!
It was a City derby.
And it was a City derby, and everyone was shouting about he's got dandruff, and he sort of brushed his shoulder, and everyone cheered.
Just like Jay-Z.
Fair play. Brush his shoulder
fair
off.
Fair play.
Uh-huh, and then they got beat.
All football clubs... do fancy dress for Christmas parties, it would appear. Or certainly most of them.
Leicester were in Brussels,
Turtles.
Was it?
Denmark.
And they were dressed Copenhagen, as Ninja Turtles, weren't they?
Yes, they look good.
What I would do
lack
is...
Lack of focus.
If
the team had been playing really, really badly, I would wait for maybe like a 5:30 kickoff on a Saturday and just say, no, we don't have a game this weekend, we've got the Christmas party. Get them all in the fancy dress and then say, oh yeah, we're off to Copenhagen or something like that. Turn up at the stadium, you've got to play in that.
Yeah.
Because they would just be rubbish, wouldn't they? Falling over. Imagine going up for headers with a big,
big, old
big
head.
Turtle head on.
Yeah.
If you pardon the expression, of course.
Gary Lineker.
He knows.
Yeah.
So there. Who gets the double rollover? Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
For thinking on his feet.
Double. I am
points.
On my feet. I'm the only one. And this has historically been the case for the 2015-16 season.
Yeah.
I'm always on my feet. I got to stand up. All you guys have seats.
I mean, that is very much your choice.
Selfless.
We've earned it.
Well, the advice, get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights is very much what you've been doing. I was just looking at the running order. I noticed that the Premier League's up first.
Yeah.
How about that?
And
it's Chelsea-Bournemouth. It was 1-0 to the Boldens. And my goodness, it can't get any worse.
It's the same side as last season.
I don't.
Yeah. Incredible.
It really is.
Courtois back, so it's not that.
And he made some good saves.
Is that what they're doing? They just got a big list and they're just ticking off things it possibly could be. Right, yeah. No, it's definitely not that.
It's like, guess who? Is it the guy with the beard and the bald head? Yeah. Is it his fault?
We're getting down to the tea lady here.
It's just
can we remind ourselves that Bournemouth have got the most injuries in the Premier League?
Mm. Have they?
Yeah. It's the first time Eddie Howe kept a clean sheet this season.
Do you know what?
Is it really?
Yeah.
Look incredible. At that.
You could remind us of, you could remind us of that if you want, Jim, but I literally didn't know that, so it was more of an information type thing for me.
Well, there was two stats there that I didn't know. Howe rightly said it's the greatest win in the club's history, and I thought, yeah, it is, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, it is.
And what I love about that is that what I love about that is if one of the big teams goes to Stamford Bridge and wins, say like Liverpool, they enjoy it, but they sort of think, yeah, Chelsea are not so good at the moment.
Great day at the office, move on.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas for Bournemouth, they turn up and they do it, and they are, no, we beat the champions.
Didn't they work out that Chelsea's bench was like 73 million Bournemouth's first 11 was like under 2 million?
Yeah.
What's happening now is you've got the promoted sides and lower down the table sides, looking at the fixture list going, right, let's get this trip to Stamford Bridge in as quick as we can.
People are looking forward to it.
Yeah.
People are going, when is it coming? Yes, it's in the next few weeks. Yeah.
It's Mourinho's gradual mental unravelling is, you know, it changes every week, doesn't it? This week, he started dropping his H's. He kept talking about how the Greer did them half chances.
Did he do that?
It's really weird. It sounded really cockney.
You see that Sir Alex Ferguson was wheeled out today as well to support him in the press, yeah.
Ferguson, I think, hasn't been as leery as I thought he would have been.
He's enjoying retirement, isn't he?
But yeah, I thought he might have been chipping
more.
Off.
No,
a bit.
No.
Do you not think
he knows when to just, you know, sit
not
back.
Even at Arsenal, Jim.
I suppose he respects.
Well, he's just finished a big book tour, hasn't he? So I mean, he's probably a bit knackered, to be honest.
Yeah, fair enough.
Them sound bites.
Glenn Murray, love that guy.
Yeah,
what a striker. Probably.
I was listening to
marginal.
I listened to the first half on TalkSport and Stan Collymore was saying that he didn't think Josh King was quite up to the standard they needed for a Premier League striker and that they should give Glenn Murray another go. And lo and behold, Glenn Murray, I watched the second half on television and then obviously Glenn Murray came on and scored. So I imagine old Stan was very pleased with himself.
Mm.
Not as pleased as Eddie Howe was, though.
Yeah.
Very delighted. One of those things where Bournemouth genuinely looked like the better side, and I'm not just saying that, they did look like the better side.
They created a lot of chances.
They did.
Yeah, they actually ran, and this is a match of the day stat, they ran 10k more than Chelsea overall.
So maybe that's it then, maybe they're just not working as hard.
Well, that's it, they look quite indifferent, don't they, and very, there seems to be a lack of effort there.
I couldn't believe it, when Bournemouth were coming forward in search of a second goal, right, and that goal was towards the end.
Yeah.
Chelsea players, the way they were just standing off the ball, there's no urgency.
Well, they've given up.
But they know
they know they've got no one up top. They just don't have any goals in the side.
But when Cahill did that little flick right at the end and he got back and recovered and gave away a corner, I was thinking, what on earth is that? Like,
he's got a new contract, hasn't he, Cahill?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. But Diego Costa, he was lucky not to get sent off, I thought. Yeah. Even he got a booking, I thought that could have been a red.
Yeah, personally. I agree with you.
Hazard hasn't scored this season.
You're dropping your H's now.
Yeah, didn't I predict Hazard to get right into that top bracket?
Yeah, I think
this
you did.
Season. You're welcome,
there's still time.
Yeah. More Stradamus.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's the reigning player of the year.
Yeah. Well, Chelsea are reigning champions, Jim. Let's remind ourselves of that.
There's a lot of rain falling at the moment.
Raining cats and dogs.
You know, we've seen all these stats about how, you know, this is a long time ago now as well. Like, teams from that position at that time of the season have never finished, you know, in the top four or finished higher than blah, 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 blah. It's like that's fed into the players and they're just taking the season off.
Well, even Mourinho said after the game, he said, well, we're not looking at top four now. I think we're looking at top six.
Season's a write-off already.
I don't know if anyone else can think of any others, but I read a while ago that Manchester City won the title in the mid-30s. And then we're relegated the following season. But I don't know of any other team that's been relegated straight after the title.
But in the modern era, it's unheard of because of for, you know, obvious reasons, the gulf in class and because of finances and whatnot. Mm. I mean, in the 30s, that sort of thing could happen. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. You remember in the 90s, was it not? It's in context. Keegan's Newcastle, when they come, didn't they finish third or something like that?
Yeah.
But you know, finish very high, and you could have those kind of things. You know, Clough's Forest, of course, or was it Derby? You know, in the 70s, I'm sure there's something wrong in there. But you know, he would bring a team up, and they would finish very, very highly indeed. Whereas in this day and
Ipswich finished fifth, didn't they, after getting promoted to the Premier League as well?
Did they? Right,
in the 90s, yeah.
That was what was that with Marcus Stewart scoring the goals that season?
Pretty sure it was fifth, yeah.
Yeah, so with Chelsea, even if they finished in the bottom half, it would be. Unbelievable. Yeah. It really would be.
The thing is, I think West Brom are above them and they're 4 points above them. So even if they win their next game, they don't move up a place. And that at that point of the that area of the table. Yeah. The Premier League, when it's going against you, it sort of becomes like the Travelator at the end of Gladiator. Yeah. Like just absolute
the
slog.
Ground falling away underneath you. I think we
the 2 points off the relegation, though.
We always say this about around Christmas, though. The games do come thick and fast, and if they can get one win, that might turn into two, and then they might go on a bit of a run over Christmas. You
but
never
the
know.
Thing is, though, they've
the
had these wins here and there.
One
but
win.
They've had these wins, and then they lose again at home to Bournemouth.
Jim, if the Chelsea can just get one win.
I'm fairly sure I'm right in saying that they need to win in the Champions League midweek as well, don't they? They need to beat Porto.
They need to avoid loss.
Okay,
I think
they were beaten by Porto earlier in the season.
They were. I mean, maybe at the time of... You know, at the time when people listen to this, that result may have happened. But of course, at the time of recording, it hasn't been played. And it is ridiculous. I was talking about this earlier, thinking, well, if Chelsea just sort of parked the bus and all the rest of it, park the bus at home to Porto in a Champions League match. Yeah. What on earth am I going on about?
Maybe it seems
relevant.
Maybe the good people at Porto will do old Jose a favour. He must be popular around there.
I'm not sure.
I don't think so. Back to Bournemouth, though. They've got Man United next week. They might win that.
Well, they know how to keep the big boys out, don't they? Now they've got a taste for the old clean sheet.
I don't think it's awfully different to keep Man United out.
It's
getting in.
I was surprised that Crystal Palace was so eager to get rid of, or not eager, but they were happy to sell on Glenn Murray. And then there was talk of Bournemouth maybe swapping him and going after Defoe. I mean, that could still happen.
I think that
Murray's scoring goals in the Premier League.
The Pardew clearly thought or thinks that it was a bit of an awkward moment.
Did you just call him the Pardew?
I don't know, maybe. Subconsciously.
Probably.
Like the Jesus.
I think he calls himself that.
The Pard. he had an interview with Glenn Murray on Match of the Day, didn't he, at the weekend? It was fairly awkward from what I remember. But anyway, they've got a fair amount of strikers at Palace, and he obviously just thought, well, the injury's taken its toll on him and he's not quite up to scratch. Or maybe he just thinks, you know, I prefer these other players, and he's moved him on.
Every time Murray seems to pop up in the Premier League after coming over or getting over that horrible injury at the end of his time in the Championship, people were like, oh, what a shame, he's been so good in that league.
Well, he fired the goals to get them up, basically.
He did, and which is why people are saying it was such a shame that he wouldn't be there to score in the Premier League and enjoy it. But obviously, towards the end of last season, he did score a few goals, and he was putting in performances. And now at Bournemouth, he scored one or two. He did miss that penalty a few weeks ago. But you look at Murray. He's not got a bad shot on him. He doesn't sort of lack pace, but he's not particularly quick. He doesn't glide past players so much. What does he have?
Well, also,
he has that striking instinct of scoring goals, which you just cut. Well, you can put a price
so much
on it.
That in his position.
Yeah, exactly.
But
that
Palace's
awareness.
Strikers aren't firing anyway.
No, they're not. Which is why I was surprised they were happy to get rid of him. Maybe it is the injuries, but for a striker like that, if Bournemouth can get a little bit of service up to him, he'll score goals for them. Mm. And obviously, if Callum Wilson comes back, a bit of competition for places, but that might be a little while yet. But well done to those Bournemouth peoples.
Those cherries
indeed. Stoke City, another upset on the weekend. They beat Manchester City 2-0.
They were far better than Manchester City.
Oh, my goodness.
How good? Absolutely amazing.
But that was the performance, I think, that a lot of people had been waiting for Stoke to put in. Because of the players that they've got. Shaqiri was on form, obviously, and Bojan were the obvious two. Yeah. Arnautovic weighed him a couple of goals.
Arnautovic played like Zlatan.
He should have had 3 or 4.
I think he should have had 5.
Yeah, he could have had 5.
He hit the post twice, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
And he missed.
He certainly should have had a hat-trick at least.
The Kraftwerfel was good. The power cube. Yeah. Shaqiri. He was having a lovely time.
Is that what he's known as?
It's the power cube.
Brilliant.
It makes sense.
He reminds me of Wario from the Mario franchise.
he's so gristly.
So boxy.
A gristly man.
It's like Volvo have made a man.
he is very, very tough.
I like Van Ginkel as well, because he just sounds like a Dutch fairy tale. Don't upset. Do all your chores, children, or Van Ginkel
will Van Ginkel will get you.
Throw your granny down the well.
Yeah. Does everyone in Scandinavia have a well?
He did say Dutch.
Dutch.
No.
Not in Scandinavia.
No, still.
Do Dutch people have wells?
No, but Van Ginkel will.
Yeah. Okay, right.
He's as good as
Van
evil
Ginkel.
Well.
Okay, so he brings his well with him. That's definitely pretty logistically
try tough. And rationalise it.
Okay.
Butland in goal as well. Stoke.
That's what Pellegrini said.
But Stoke all across the pitch. You know, the defence was very, very, very solid as well.
I saw
they
Stoke.
Look good. And they've slightly disappointed, dare I say. I mean, they are in 10th with 22 points.
They had a slow start, didn't they?
They had a slow start. I think when I say slightly disappointed, because they were so good last season, what did they finish in the top half, where their best ever finish? They signed some really good players. Bojan came back from injury. It does seem odd to say, you know, Stoke in 10th, as I say, with 22 points, 10 off the top.
I saw a Stoke City fan describe that performance as Stoke's best performance in a billion years.
I think Danny Murphy, again on Match of the Day, said like it's the best he's ever seen them play. And I can't remember them playing that well because they tore Man City to pieces with some genuinely really deft, beautiful, slick footwork.
Well, Man City, more like.
Man City played it in the air, which is the stupidest thing to do. De Bruyne couldn't even take his bloody corners.
Yeah, it was so windy.
Playing
the ball on the deck.
Played it on the deck and they got so much time and possession out of it.
I saw a fantastic interview with Vincent Kompany, who's obviously injured, ahead of the midweek Champions League game. And he said he was talking like generally about the Man City project, obviously in his capacity as captain. And he did an amazing quote. One of my favourite quotes of the season so far. He said, "We've reached for the stars and we've been able to get a hold of some of them."
Not all of them.
No.
Right.
Wow.
Just some of them.
Towing the company line.
Anyone knows what that means, do let us know.
Why is Van Gaal Van Gaal? And why is Van Ginkel not Van Ginkel?
Well, I said Van Ginkel because I think that's often how you pronounce
it. It depends what part of Holland
you're from. We've had this before. This BBC is just messing with my head.
Because we all said Van Hal, that's what we all said. Yeah. Because it's Van Gaal, it's halfway between a G and an H. But everyone started saying Van Gaal. I still say Van Hal. We say Ruud Gullit, we don't say Ruud Gullit, do we?
Peter, I'm sick of this. It depends what part of Holland you learnt Dutch in.
I didn't learn it in any part.
Yeah, and you learn it over here. Yeah. Any more on the City?
Yeah, on the City thing, they look really sort of bereft without Kompany. And you've got to look at the character of the team. If there's no one else who can step up and actually take games by the scruff of the neck, because Touré and Aguero miss. I mean, however much money you got, you're always going to miss those players.
They've got enough though not to be putting in a poor
performance. They should be
like
better
that.
Than this, absolutely. But the thing is, as I say, there's no one taking it by the scruff of the neck. Teams seem to have worked out, as we touched on a couple of weeks ago, again, that if you want to beat City, you just take the game to them. It's not shut up shop and bully them and kick them about and try and nick a goal. It's take the game to them, and they don't seem to have the stomach or the fight for it. When it's very odd.
They've got a very strong core when it's there, but when that is removed, which, back up what you were saying with Touré and Kompany and Aguero, they look a bit soft.
Absolutely.
Completely agree.
Like a cream egg rather than a hard-boiled egg.
Indeed. Or a normal egg.
More beautiful Premier League chat right after this.
And eggs.
Watch yourself, it's the Ramble Boys. Chucking out the bants, making all the noise. Keep your peepers peeled and watch those grubby mitts, cos they're coming for you and your big shop tips.
Right then, Petey.
Yes!
Come on.
Here it goes.
Credit where credit's due.
Yes,
Liverpool
I played
were
very well.
You hate charity. That's what it comes down to.
Newcastle United, they won a football match and kept a clean sheet against a good team.
I was working on my little chant over the weekend.
Which was?
Give it some welly when we're not on the telly, Newcastle United. Yeah. I'll be hearing that on the Gallagher end next week.
Well, of course, this is what you said on the preview show, Peter. Mm. This is what you
week
said.
After.
Was it week on?
No, I'm sorry about the Spurs match. It's a weird.
Oh, I see. You're still
correct myself.
Talking. you said that the Newcastle only seem to care when the TV cameras are there because it's a bit of a shop window.
That was a rhyme. Don't you start your own chant, Sunshine.
Well, you know, a bit of competition in the in the chant.
They won't sing
chart.
It because of your accent. They never take off.
That's true. Do Newcastle need to play on the telly every week?
Yeah. It would be a blubber good start. You know, they've got Spurs at White Hart Lane this weekend on the telly, 4 p.m. Sunday. But that's what happens when you're selling club. Footballers are idiots. They genuinely think that nobody's watching at Crystal Palace at 3 p.m. on a Saturday.
Do you think really is as clear cut as that?
That's my only sort of...
It certainly is a factor.
They certainly raise their games in games against harder opposition and more celebrated opposition. They just don't seem to give a toss any other time. But I mean, they've made a road for their own back with this performance because they ran harder than Liverpool, who were massively off the pace. Let's not forget that this is a Liverpool team who look bloody dreadful. Mm-hmm. Their first touch was dreadful. They look knackered. Even like the usual kind of the better performers that you're always going to get a 7 out of 10 out. Even like Milner couldn't play football.
I think Newcastle made them look bad.
Milner was especially disappointing, I thought. Yeah. Very solid, very consistent.
Yeah, it's the former club.
Yeah.
Taking it easy.
Should be.
Generally playing against a former club, though, isn't it?
I don't know, Man City. look pretty good against them.
No, I mean generally he's playing against the former club.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said generally so he goes easy against the former club.
No, of course not. No, it's not in his DNA, is it?
Wijnaldum,
monster munchy DNA.
He was playing out of his skin.
Yeah, I genuinely thought Sissoko wasn't going to release that ball for his second. Oh, I was like, just give it to him.
He needs a proper goal.
That was a dictionary definition counter-attack goal, that. Yeah. That was a dictionary definition. We're 1-0 up, the other team are pushing and we're going to get a second.
Well,
and
exactly, it's a great finish.
Klopp basically said, I don't want to talk about the second goal. That was just a counter-attack goal. That'll happen in the Premier League, but...
Well, I agree with that. I think that does happen. When you're a team who's expected to win games and you go and you're not shutting up shop and you're not trying to avoid defeat and you go out to put something right, especially in a situation where it's against a team you're expected to beat, you're obviously going to come out and try and get something out of the game and you're going to get caught. But I actually think Van Alden's been probably maybe it's a bit too much of a stretch to call him a bright spot, but he certainly looked
one of the better players,
hasn't he, for Newcastle?
He's got a canny few goals now. I mean, he's not going to get the first one, however much he protests on Match of the Day.
No, he's not. No.
Yeah. Skirtle's face as that went in was absolutely amazing. just slow motion, just like Halloween mask style shock.
For large parts of the game, it looked like the only way it was going to be a goal. I mean, the only way it was going to happen. I mean, I'm not sure if this is right, but it certainly rings a bell that second counter-attack goal from Newcastle...
First shot on target.
Yeah, so, I mean, it wasn't a classic or a vintage performance.
It just looks so different, and you think that's what they're capable of, which is why it must be so frustrating for a Newcastle United fan. Do you think there's an argument to suggest that with... And I'll tread carefully here, because obviously we're going over old ground slightly, but with the hangover that Pardew perhaps left, because they, you know... talking to one or two journalists, they said that under Pardew, Newcastle, as we know, lost heavily.
We got beat 6-0 that same fixture.
Quite heavily. They lost. When they lost, they flipping well lost. Mm. Yeah. So do you think with some of those Newcastle United players, when they go a goal or two down, they just think, oh, here we go?
Well, that was going to be the biggest problem, I think, during that match. I was more tense about Newcastle going a goal behind, because then they just don't know how to shut up shop. They don't know how to just do the simple things simply, and that's how we lose football matches.
I think there is something in that, Marcus, and I think there's something in that with Chelsea as well. When Chelsea go behind, I know they conceded very late on against Bournemouth. There's not much they could do about it, but it's been a hallmark from what I've seen of Chelsea's season. They go behind, they really struggle. They look bereft of confidence, and it's the same with Newcastle. It happens a lot with struggling teams. Mm. Not, no matter what their level, in my experience of watching football, if a team is struggling, whether they're a League One side or even if they've been on a 10-game run, they're at the top of the league, when they start losing games and they lose the confidence, as soon as they go behind, it's terrible. It's difficult for them. That's why you've got to be so impressed with what Leicester have done, because they spent a large part of this season going behind and coming back.
Yep. Mm.
And that's the hallmark of a confident side.
Yeah. Yeah.
And confidence is so important in football at any level.
Well, you're right. And it's so strange, isn't it, the confidence game in football. You think, should it really play a big part? Or not should it, but does it? You know, and that's why, you know, we've already mentioned him, Sir Alex Ferguson, the way he would get his teams to play, that winning mentality that was there every season. So impressive.
Just force making, a win if you have
yeah,
to.
Making yeah. players feel like they can run through brick walls and put in performances, almost telling them that they're better than they actually
are.
The
confidence thing is a difference between you concede a goal against a team because it's football and that's what happens and other teams want to score as well, and you just go, right, that's life, we'll crack on.
Yeah.
And when the team scores against you when you're unconfident, it feels like the worst thing in the world. You know, it feels like that's it then. I guarantee you that, neither team really particularly... Newcastle got a bit of fortunate with the own goal, and of course the counter-attack goal will happen. But neither team really necessarily deserved to win that game. But I guarantee you, if Liverpool had gone a goal ahead, they'd definitely won it.
Oh, massively.
Definitely.
Massively.
Clark after the game, it was strange, wasn't it? Because he was basically... He laughs, doesn't he? Even when, you know, there's been a bad result, he's always laughing, he's always smiling and happy, and that must be quite a strange thing, because he was basically laughing about how rubbish the game was.
it was
really odd.
He said the game was rubbish, and he said, and I do agree with him, I don't agree with him about the linesman didn't award the goal because he said they were played too rubbish.
That was a brilliant goal as well.
It was a brilliant goal, he should have stood, but I don't think he would have took that shot if he didn't think the move was dead.
Do you think it was cross?
I think he would have crossed it. I don't think he would have done it. I think it was a shot, but he wouldn't have had that shot if he hadn't heard the whistle.
I disagree. I disagree with you as well. I think it was definitely a shot.
I think it was a shot, but if he hadn't heard that whistle,
The only thing I would say though is that he was looking at down the lines, but the lines was clearly in his field of vision. So there's possibly something in that.
It may be that he was looking to cross.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah,
I mean, who knows?
It should have stood.
Who knows?
But another week where people were sort of on Twitter, and it's always lovely to hear from everybody and stuff. But like sort of saying, "Oh, you must be really happy." I'm going, "No, it pisses me off." Like, that's nonsense. That's a nonsense.
It is
frustrating.
I've supported Portsmouth have been like that before. Where sometimes you see them and you think, okay, the other team might be having an off day, but God, at least
they're trying. Why can't they try every week?
Yeah, it's a strange thing. Do you think, Pete, the answer is to just get everyone in the ground to take iPads and live stream it and try to trick the players? Going, you're on telly, you're on telly, step it up.
Oh, just get one of those
your
streams.
Mum's watching.
You could get a move to Spurs.
Just get one of those illegal streams and stick it up on the St James's Park stream.
Say to them, this may not go out live in England, but around the world it really does.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so there we are. Manchester United, they again didn't cover themselves in glory against West Ham.
How have they made that into the running order?
So
how have they made it in there?
Van Gaal is just defiant, isn't it?
Because it was a good point for West Ham. In fact, that could have been all three if Zarate put away that chance. But they look decent. It's just another more for the West Ham performance, a clean sheet on the road once again to one of the big boys in the Premier League.
I think I've said this before, but I like the way that Van Gaal, as you just touched on, he's done enough in his career now. He's just like, I don't really care.
I'm leaving in a little while.
And the interviewer said, oh, do you understand why the fans were frustrated? And he was like, not really.
I love that. There is no way he cannot see the viewpoint, even conceptually. He just won't acknowledge it.
It's one more point than Man City or Chelsea got this weekend. So forget you.
You know what, though? I mean, they are defensively consistent, which is more than you can say for pretty much any team in the league. There's so few teams that are playing with any consistency at all, just across the board. And I think they are going to dredge their way into the title race.
Which is why, money aside, I mean, they've obviously spent a lot of money already. But if you take away the grotesque amounts of money that are being spent, which is why it's perfect just to sign someone like Cristiano Ronaldo. Because although, fair enough, his performance levels have dropped off ever so slightly, he's still easily one of the best players in the world. And he's the sort of player who can drag a team attacking-wise into a game. Yeah. And United have already got a defensive side of the game sorted. So they just need someone like him or Luis Suarez or whatever to just drag a team through it.
Look at the difference. I mean, Fellaini could have been sent off a couple of times, but I thought he was a lot more effective than Rooney. Manchester United need a bit of nuisance up top. Yeah. But Rooney's just not doing it right now.
Did Ander Herrera play?
I don't think so. No, he's still out.
Yeah, so why? Is he injured, is he?
I don't think
he's injured, is he? I just think he's not getting picked. It's mental.
I think it's more mental, like Van Gaal doesn't want to play Matter as a number 10. He just can't
see
it.
You think Matter in Rooney's role would just makes all the sense. You think that solves that problem. But, you know,
it should be the Matter role. It should be the other way around.
Indeed.
It should be the Rooney role.
Indeed.
Yeah.
What about Leicester City?
Oh.
All about Mahrez.
What a party.
What you said, Luke, earlier about...
Can they move Vardy on loan? I mean, he doesn't seem to be doing it anymore, does he?
Shame for Vardy. His scoring record has come to an end.
Yeah.
But as you said about Leicester, they used to go behind and then come back, and they got a lot of draws that way. And now they are just brushing teams aside. Like Swansea. I know Swansea are there for the taking at the moment, and they're in real trouble, but...
Yeah.
I mean, Leicester could have won that game.
The great thing about Leicester is they're just great to watch as well. There's no one playing better than them in the Premier League at the moment. And the tempo they play is amazing. It's when you think of what you used to associate Swansea with, I personally used to associate them with little triangles, little passing moves.
Tiki-taka.
But yeah, move around nicely. Obviously, they're unconfident at the moment. They're having trouble, and fair enough. But that aside, Leicester move the ball so nicely. Yeah. They play so well going forward. And that unit they've got defending properly as a team is really interesting.
But they have so much pace. They stretch teams as well. It's not quite as suffocating as the style we were talking about just then, that Swansea sort of used to have a bit. They are a bit more expansive than that, and it's beautiful to watch. Did you see what Morris said after the game? He said, this was the first hat-trick in my little career, my small career. It's like, mate, you're 24. You've got a pretty massive career coming up if this is anything to go by.
Yeah. No,
it's
really
just
is.
Fantastic.
But they do defend throughout the team, though. I mean, they don't keep an awful lot of clean sheets, but when they do...
They're a unit.
Yeah, absolutely.
But their pass completion and their possession is pretty dreadful.
Is it?
I think there's only two teams in the league worse than them on pass completion.
Right.
But they just steamroll the team.
They're so dogged.
Monk could do with a bit of that right now. Just be a bit more direct.
I think if Vardy gets injured for whatever reason, they'll concede goals as well as not score as many. Mm. They'll concede them as well because he is like a little dog of a player, isn't he?
Yappy little ones.
Yeah.
There were moments, one of the brightest sparks for Swansea, Key Sung Young, was like he just had no one to pass to. Mm. And it's like, and that's not
that's
really the Swansea
game.
Way. Yeah, you always need to give him a 1-2. Oi.
Oi, oi, oi. Yeah, so Leicester, they're still on top.
They are still on top
and of that.
And by the way, Leicester, I think Leicester have got four or five tough games coming up.
They do.
And if they get past them and still top of the table, then we'll talk. Then we'll sit down and talk.
For a promoted team at this point in the season, top, I think the lowest anyone's ever been.
They're not promoted, though, are they?
That was the last... No, sorry, the season before.
Yeah.
But I think somebody's worked the stats. That it would be a weird thing for them to say if it wasn't two
right.
seasons before.
So the lowest they could finish.
The lowest they could finish is like third or fourth, which is like...
Wow, really?
In what's happened before.
Imagine if they got in the Champions League.
That'd be great.
That'd be so good.
And with Mahrez, they signed him when they were in the Championship for, what, 400,000, something like that?
Yeah.
He was signed as a Championship player. He's now playing like a Champions League player.
Yeah,
they're going to get some lovely contract negotiations at the end of the season.
Oh, yes. He's going to sit down with a big old grin on his face.
If they get in the Champions League, they'll have no problem paying it.
But I'd like that the Leicester would take the initiative in that conversation and look at him and just say, how much do you want?
Yeah, Cambiasso must be kicking himself.
Don't need him.
Can we
not
top
needed.
Yeah.
No better than we've already got.
Don't start. I'll tell you what, don't start, because Football Focus at the week, I think it was Football Focus anyway, I had a feature with Matt Ritchie and every second word was England this, England that, and I was like, oh, for God's sake.
Really?
For God's sake.
Let's move on to the FA Cup. As we've been doing the show, the draw has been made, or is being made.
The look in your eye tells me you know who Portsmouth have got.
We'll come to that.
You were tapping away at a second ago.
It was, yeah. The big story from round two, of course, was the non-league Eastleigh beat fellow non-league side Stourbridge to reach the third round for the first time ever.
Incredible.
There's a couple of
That's
other
an
sides.
Incredible result.
It really is. Salford City, of course, still in there, and Whiteleaf.
White Hawk,
sorry, yeah. Different side. White Hawk is still in there. Hopefully they'll swoop.
They play Dagenham and Redbridge, which is where I'm from, against where I live.
Nice one, Jim. The Jim Derby.
In a way. I don't think anyone associated with either club thinks of it as that.
Well, Eastleigh, they're at home to Bolton.
Oh, that's a lovely thing. Bolton are really struggling.
I know. Yeah, when you look at it, you think, oh, that's not... Oh, could that... No.
Because Eastleigh are very, very close to being a full-time league club. In terms of their league position, and they're based not far from where I'm from. They're in Southampton, and for them to be that high up to me is staggering. Because I can remember growing up and the non-league scene around Gosport Borough, who are also doing well at the moment, and teams like that. You would never ever consider them to be anything like that. They're very much an amateur proposition. Eastleigh Boys used to be a decent side, but they weren't anywhere near. They weren't like seen as a boys side for a Premier League.
Yeah.
For a football league club. Yeah. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous. And they've done so well. They really
Eastleigh
are.
Boys making all the noise.
Indeed.
Can I interject with a bit of Bolton news?
Go on.
The two Amiobis faced off over the weekend.
Ooh. Did they?
For different sides for the first time. Exciting.
I can imagine Amiobi being the type of player to really destroy Eastleigh's dream. Even though Eastleigh are technically Southampton, so I shouldn't really be supporting.
You'd fart a goal in by accident.
Speaking of sort of non-league teams, someone was telling me over the weekend about, you know, Dulwich Hamlet, who are sort of known as the...
That's my local team, Jim.
He went to a friend of mine. He went to one of the games, and on about the 85th minute, there was a corner, and I think it was 0-0 or 1-0 or something like that. And then everyone, they get about 3,000 down, got their keys out and started waving them around. He was like, well, "What's this?" And someone just went, "Oh, it's a key moment in the game."
Oh my goodness!
Jeez,
Siri, really?
I'm sure I endorse that.
With the Bolton one, we should point out that Amiobi only lasted 70 minutes. Yeah. Heskey came on for him.
Oh my goodness, man!
God. Like for like,
and people wonder why they're bottom.
That's great, isn't
it? Yes, Bolton fans, I know why you're Bolton.
There's a fair few all Premier League ties in the FA Cup in the third round. Arsenal at home to Sunderland, Jim. You must be happy about that, having convincingly beaten them.
Oh, it's another opportunity for Sam to have a swing now, isn't it? Oh, so you'll never be comfortable with that.
He'll get it right this time.
Marcus?
Yes?
A sleeping giant has awoken from its slumber for the first time since 2010.
That's right.
Don't spare the horses.
Sorry, so how did your guys' prediction go for the week? I think you tipped us to lose and we didn't. Is that right? Yeah, it's right, isn't it? Shut up.
Oh, well done, Jim. You beat Sunderland at home unconvincingly. 3-1.
Yeah. Round of applause.
All I said was Sunderland 11-1. That might be a ship you'd like to sail into the harbour.
And I tell you what.
People make their own decisions.
Yeah, but they sailed it into the harbour.
Yeah, and sank it.
Let's be honest. At 1-1, you were thinking, oh, no. Here we go.
At 1-1, I was drinking with Pete.
My prediction, 0-0 Man United. I got that one right.
Yeah, well done, sir. Spurs are at home to Leicester in the FA Cup third round. That's this one. Southampton.
It'd be interesting to see if their league form translates for Leicester.
The last thing they need is a cup run.
Indeed,
Southampton versus Palace. Pardew, obviously, going back to another former side there. Watford versus Newcastle.
Oh, an all-prem tie.
Tricky tie for the
I can watch that
there.
If I can.
They're doing all right.
That'll be on telly, mate.
Wickham Wanderers at home to Villa.
Oh, tough one.
They will fancy it.
Wickham aren't doing too bad.
They aren't. Now, unfortunately, it's not Portsmouth at Chelsea, Luke. Ah. But that was the thing. Now we were talking before. Who would Portsmouth like to get? He's like, well, away to a big Premier League club. What about the way to the Champions, Chelsea? And you're thinking they could.
Well,
yeah.
What I said was a while ago in the cup. If you as a supporting a lower league team, you'd think, oh, Chelsea away, this could be embarrassing. But now you're like, Chelsea away,
So who have Chelsea got?
Leigh Norwich, Leigh Norwich or Scunthorpe?
I thought their ball might have just fallen out of the tombola.
No. Norwich versus Man City, another all Premier League ties, a few of them in there. Portsmouth are right at Ipswich.
Oh, terrible.
That's a bad one.
Yeah. So we're going to get handily beaten. It's not even going to be on TV.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to fucking Ipswich.
Marcus, how many All Premier League ties are there? Because the FA Cup's always brilliant when this happens, because just obviously, you know, it gets halved straight away. Ooh. So it just gives the
we'll just glance it. There's at least five.
Great.
Yeah. That is a few, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's brilliant.
It's a fair old few, Jim. It's a fair old few in
the
FA Cup.
Did you see Carlisle played away at the weekend because they needed to?
Yeah.
Their ground is just like a water polo pitch.
That's quite... Yeah, it's
did they beat
really
Welling?
Bad up in Carlisle.
Yeah, it's 5-0, 5-1. But the Carlisle manager and kind of admin team have basically said that the team are willing to help out anyone who's affected by the flooding and stuff. Yeah. Which is
all
really
all the teams, the under-18s team are as well. Mm. They just said we can't offer anything apart from the fact that we're quite big and strong and we're happy to move furniture around and that sort of stuff. So they're doing that.
No, that's great.
Really bad. We're going to talk about the Liga, the Bundesliga and the MLS after this little jingle.
While you're sitting at work punching them numbers into them boxes, why not head on over to the footballramble.com and have a gander. You'll find more highlights than a night at Crystals.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
It is true, that, ladies and gentlemen. It is true. Don't forget the preview show sponsored by Bet365, the Football Ramble preview show that goes out on a Friday. We didn't do too well with the Bet of the Week last week.
We tried to throw a party at Newcastle's expense.
But if there's one thing Newcastle can ruin...
Yeah, it's charity donations.
it was a TV party, Black Flag style.
Yeah, it was. So unfortunately, Liverpool didn't pull through with the 5 goals or more we wanted.
No. I mean, it was definitely on, wasn't it?
Yeah. 5 goals short. So better luck next time.
There we are.
One more of them on Thursday. Friday.
Let's go to the Liga. Valencia got a good point at home to Barcelona. Phil Neville was in the dugout. Yeah. Gary Neville was in the stand.
Didn't fancy it. Disgusting.
Well, to be fair, his first game in charge is the Champions League game against Lyon at home, which is pretty much a must-win game for Valencia if they're going to go through.
You've got to wonder why that is.
Like, what's that?
Why he doesn't take charge now? He's there in the stadium.
Well, I think most managers, when they get the job, they just want to be in the stadium.
I think Big Phil's gone, give me the Barcelona game. Go on. I want the Barcelona game.
Yeah. Well, to me, he's got a point.
He's got a point.
Well,
yeah.
I don't think he was head coach for it, was he?
I don't think
Angulo was in there and the former player and stuff.
But Suarez obviously scored, but Messi, Neymar and Suarez, all three of them were really off the pace. They all shanked quite a few over. It's like, what's quite interesting is it seems that if one of them's not performing, like none of them do.
Although that goal's
mentally
like a battery, like three batteries in a pack.
That goal Suarez scored.
Like a Christmas decoration fairy light thing.
Yeah,
if one of them is loose.
Not nowadays, though. They're all in parallel.
Not nowadays.
Oh, sorry.
Whichever one's the good one.
Suarez's goal. Just, again, we were lauding his finishing the other week, weren't we? And just that one, again, so different. The defender's holding him off. It's at a tight angle. He kind of has to slide in to get it and just scores. And you think, that to me was up there with some of his best finishes, just because of the different style and for the sheer strength of the man to hold him off.
He was still a bit naughty again.
Oh, he was being a right old sausage, wasn't he? My
goodness. You kind of forget that side of him a little bit. You think,
because so good.
He's getting so much praise now, and they are doing this genuinely. Brilliant thing, that was the three of them up front. But yeah, it's so needless to just stand on a man's foot with metal studs on your shoes.
Yeah. It was his 44th goal in 64 for Barcelona. Not as good as Messi, but still.
But who is?
Decent.
Who is?
Are there stats for the stud marks he's inflicted?
I would have thought so.
He's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy, Marcus.
Indeed. Valencia, they should never have been in the game towards the latter stages of it. And then they got a wonderful goal. Great hold-up play from Alcacer for Lorenzo to lash home the equaliser. But it was a glorious goal, and Phil Neville must have been loving it on the touchline.
Bet he was.
Yeah, well, so we look forward to Gary taking charge this week.
One of Valencia's two stadiums absolutely erupted.
Real Madrid, they're getting fed up of Benitez, aren't they? There was boos and whistles and white handkerchiefs everywhere.
That is quick, isn't it? Really quick work, even for Real Madrid.
It's been a while they've been not sold on Benitez.
Oh,
actually.
I know, but it's December, so quick into his reign.
But the knives have been out for a little while.
Exactly.
For such a successful manager, he's very unpopular, Benitez.
Yeah.
And fine, part of it might be to do with his style of play and the fact that he's fairly dour, but I mean, Real Madrid won pretty handily at the weekend. Yeah, I know that Copa del Rey debacle.
And the 4-0 home loss to Barcelona.
It's Barcelona.
The cup thing's nuts,
4-0 home to Barcelona, you can't have
they
that.
They got beaten 5 under Mourinho.
They did, but that was away.
Improvement.
It was away, but that was under Guardiola's Barcelona. And at the time, that was seen as a real anomaly. And then when they went, I think they drew 1-1 with them at home. Whereas this, the way Benitez set up, he set up very poorly, as we talked about, So, come on, you can't really have that. Thrown out of the Copa del Rey
That's the real story. That is absolutely ludicrous. Because have you seen Real Madrid's argument? They're going to appeal it. They're saying, well, we've got a whole, no one told us about it. No one told Denis Cheryshev about it. We've got a whole department that looks into these things. No one told them. It's like, surely they find out. Why do they exist?
I don't think that's Benitez's fault, though.
No, I
think Benitez just should be told which players he's available to select.
Absolutely, but someone somewhere within Real Madrid is at fault.
I agree with that.
Post-it note's fallen off a calendar.
Yeah, it probably has.
Went under a chair, can't find it.
It's in a spam folder somewhere.
Or they've written it
spam
in pen.
Like a northern man, then. I don't know why that happened.
Spam?
It must be you.
They've written it in the diary, but then they've done that thing where you go back and you can't read your own writing.
That's is it haircut on
Cheryshev? Cheryshev's definitely getting...
Cher's birthday.
Getting some suspenders.
Cheryshev's in a band. I'll go and see them.
There's also a chance to sack Florentino Perez as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about that. But
and then we're back again.
Darth Vader's not going to kill himself, is it?
No. Atleti, they're up to second. They won 2-0 away at Granada. Going about their business nice and quietly, aren't they? Not making Barcelona and Real Madrid's noise. Just getting in there. Second in the league. They're going to go through in the Champions League, you would very much expect.
Spurs-esque.
Possibly.
Oh, weekly update, Spurs are still fifth.
Did you see the goals in that game for Atleti? Godin, what type of goal do you think it was? Thumping header from a corner? Damn right it was. the Griezmann's movement and link-up play with Torres for his goal was delightful. Griezmann's such a great player, and because of Messi and Ronaldo, he just doesn't get as many plaudits.
I think
as
he loves being such a fashionable player.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He's a brilliant player.
And Atletico Madrid themselves fill that role, don't they? So it's great.
It is great, Jim. What's also great is the Bundesliga. And the fact
been there
that
in a while.
Borussia Mönchengladbach beat Bayern Munich 3-1. Bayern's first defeat in the league this season. Would have said first defeat of the season, but of course Arsenal took care of that.
Brilliantly smug quote from Muller before the game as well.
Who?
Thomas Muller.
Oh, about saying that how all's peachy in the Bayern camp at the moment. At the moment, it just feels great. We have lots of fun in the team. If we would watch our games after we played them, it would probably be nice watching it.
Yeah, then you got beat.
Yeah.
he said earlier, didn't he, that Bayern Munich training is harder than the Bundesliga. So he's got some previous of being a little smug.
But they absolutely battered Mönchengladbach in the first half.
Gladbach are going really well. Only Dortmund and Bayern have scored more than them. Bearing in mind Lewandowski and Aubameyang have got a lot to do there.
André Schubert is their manager. He looks like a bald Will Self.
All right.
And he also used to manage St. Pauli. But I don't know if anyone didn't see that game. Essentially, all the goals were in the second half. And
some lovely goals from Gladbach.
But Munich battered them in the first half. Just couldn't score.
They did.
Keeper made some good saves. Obviously, Ribery came on and scored. He's been out injured since
March.
Nice
goals as well from Ribery.
Will Self's not really that hairy, though, is he?
No, he's like a bald Will Self.
Bald Will Self.
I was going to say, also, I think I'm right in saying that's the first time this season that Bayern Munich have conceded a goal in the second half.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay, right.
Yeah. Gladbach haven't lost a match in all competitions, including the Champions League, since September.
Yeah, they had a really bad start and they're on some run.
They did, which is when they lost to Manchester City. So they're going very well indeed. And Dortmund, they won a handy win away to Wolfsburg.
That was a brilliant game.
It was a great game.
So many chances.
What a finish.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
To the end. Wolfsburg, I think that was their first loss at home in 29 league matches, something like that.
There were two goals in injury time, were there not?
Yeah, they got
one
a penalty.
One of them was a very soft penalty.
Very soft penalty, and Wolfsburg equalised. And then Kagawa went up the other end, and his marker just left him.
Yeah, he did.
Total ball watching. Kagawa couldn't believe his luck.
The only thing worse than conceding a soft penalty in the final minute of a game to be equalised against is when the guy taking the penalty has terrible hair. Mm. Rodriguez has got terrible hair. He's got one of those. I don't know what era it was, Pete. You're quite up on the old hair. The sort of undercut with the slick back ponytail.
Right.
That sort of. He's got that type of thing going on. It's very poor. No, it's not quite a top knot. It's like slicked back, and it's like a ponytail, but it's a very high ponytail.
It's like a Grealish plus two.
Arnautovic has got one, has he?
He has, very similar to Arnautovic. Yeah. Very similar to Arnautovic.
It wasn't the most controversial penalty in the Bundesliga over the weekend.
Mm.
It was the Bundesliga. I couldn't remember if it was Bundesliga or Bundesliga 2. It was Bundesliga. Cologne lost at home to Augsburg 1-0. Naughty Marvin Hitz in the Augsburg goal.
It's a great name for a keeper.
He tampered with a penalty spot after Cologne were awarded a penalty. Dug his studs into the spot very craftily and sort of spun round.
But it was really obvious. Like, he could have done that a lot easier.
Yeah, I mean, he was stood next to the referee.
It was like, you know, a cat out of Red Dwarf where he goes, ow, like that. Yeah. He did that for ages.
Well, very niche quote there.
Yeah.
Well, not a quote.
Enjoy that, America.
Yeah.
you had the remake, but you muffed it up, so you don't deserve it.
Now, this Anthony Modeste, I think it's pronounced, he took the spot kick and missed. The keeper saved it, Hitz did. And he slid, but I think he slid after he kicked the ball.
It's still a slip, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it caused him to miss. That wasn't like a John Terry in the Champions League final.
Who knows?
It's still naughty. I mean, it's naughty.
For England.
Hitz, against Turkey. Mm. Hitz did apologise after, but I did like what he said. He commented that he'd never saved a penalty before.
I need all the help I can get.
I wanted to have my dream.
Anthony Modeste hasn't scored for 2 months. So then he gets that to deal with as well.
Yeah, there we are. There we are now to Major League Soccer, where Columbus Crew lost in the final of the Cup to Portland Timbers 2-1. We like this because the Timbers are Team Ramble, really, aren't they?
Did someone email us once saying that they actually play our theme tune?
They used to play our theme. I don't know if they still do, but they used to play our theme tune before each game. And I think every time someone scores now, they carve a log off.
Is it Timbers Tim? I think his name is. They carve a bit of the tree off, but they plant a tree for every goal they score. Which
That's
is
great.
Great.
Yeah. Not in the pitch.
But there is a tenuous link between the Ramble and the Timbers because of that.
So if anyone has any evidence of this, we'd be very interested.
I think we were emailed a few times about
no,
it.
No, someone told Pete once in a bar, like 2 a.m, that they played the theme tune at Portland Timbers, and that's it.
That's good enough for me.
This has been ascertained. We've got emails. We've got evidence.
Well, you also told us that Johnny Marr from the Smiths and many other brilliant bands listens as well, so Johnny, if you're in touch, maybe do us a new theme tune. See if the Portland Timbers will use that. Modest Mouse from there, you're in them.
But no disrespect to the current theme tune.
Keep Portland ramble.
Yeah, that's right. It was the first time they've won the MLS champions. And Liam Ridgewell is in their ranks. It's no coincidence.
They scored both their goals in like the first 7 minutes or something.
Oh, that, the first one was
ridiculous.
The keeper's had an absolute shocker. He went to clear it, took his time, and the striker's nipped in. I mean, obviously that's the keeper's fault, but the defenders didn't seem to be shouting at him, get rid of it, you know. And then Rodney Wallace, not the former Leeds and Rangers striker.
Sadly.
I thought, to me, when I saw the name, I thought, oh, that's where he's popped up.
Like a football manager regen. 45.
Yeah, he's still quick. So, great win for them. Well done. And before we go to the highlights of the week, we've got a Ronaldinho update. He's not joined a new club yet because that would involve playing football.
Or moving.
He's brought out his own range of... well, some people call them hoverboards or segways. Some people...
they're not hoverboards, are they?
No, they're not.
They're not segways either, are they?
No.
Oh,
what would you proper name for them?
What would you call them?
Wheelie shoes.
Foot trolleys?
Foot trolleys.
You know, the things you stand...
magnets?
Yeah, they're sort of the new thing with the two wheels and you stand on them and they take you around. Like, I don't know. Yeah, they're kind of like a Segway, but without the big bit that you'd hold on to.
Yeah.
Mm. He's selling each one for... he's got his own range out, and they're going for £460 each. The gold-coloured, obviously. His signature's all over them. And
I mean, I'm interested in having a Ronaldinho one.
Well, yeah, there's only 5,000 released, but I think they're illegal now on the streets of London. But
yeah, 460, that's... I mean, I... purchased some nonsense sometimes, but it's not too bad.
They're also not allowed.
You are absolutely in the target market for that.
Yeah, yeah, they are illegal on the streets of the city that you live in.
As I say, he's exactly in the target market for that.
I'll go down my corridor, thank you very much.
He could buy a couple when he's drunk and then sell them both on for about £100 lost in a few weeks' time.
And he'll treat it as a win.
The Pete Dawson business model.
Yeah. Why is Ronaldinho doing this? Do you think he's planning to just play with one of these now,
because
so he doesn't
can.
Have to run?
Yeah. You see him on the pitch.
Yeah.
He'd still manage to juggle the ball while he was on one, though.
It'll nip off to shoot if the ball's free, but otherwise he'll use that to travel around.
Those are really big shoes out there, Ronaldinho. Yes, they are. They're definitely shoes.
I'd love to see a viral video of him doing keepy-ups with one of them.
Mm.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? Can you go on them with one foot and then just do keepy-ups
with
the other one?
His one, surely.
The only thing I know about them is they're not allowed in airports. That's what I've got.
All right, maybe we should email Ronaldinho if we can get him to endorse something weird.
Yeah, very much so. Ironically, yeah.
Mm, that's right. Now then, it's time for the highlights of the week. We'll look more.
Well, I had an idea. Before we go to highlights of the week, should we talk about the Christmas special? Because towards the end of the show, people might turn off and not hear it. Let's do it now.
Why didn't we do it
at the start?
I think listeners go, highlights of the week, website round that. Right, well, we know that's the end of the show now.
We're off.
Yeah,
surely not.
Let's do it
now.
There's
some hidden gems sometimes.
Yeah, they would never know. They'll never find out about them.
The B-sides, if you will.
So, yes, very much so. So, like the secret track at the end of a 90s CD album.
Yeah.
This Friday, the 11th of December, the Christmas special is available.
Which is my highlight of the week.
Oh, good. Available for £2.49. You have to go into the album section of iTunes. It's available on PayPal too, of course, if you're not an iTunes user, but you have to go to the album section of iTunes. It's got a lot of fun involved within it.
It's the Football Ramble Christmas party.
It's fantastic.
There's not much football chat.
I mean, guys, you quite a lot sort of say that I'm quite dour and down on the things that we do, but genuinely, I think this is one of the best things we've done.
I agree.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Allow me to give you a little flavour by saying it's got a Christmas game in it called Mark Fish You a Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
And extracts from Kevin Keegan's diary while at Newcastle United.
Yeah.
Which is well worth it.
There's lots going on.
Seriously, get involved there and make us number one at Christmas.
And that'll be your highlight of Christmas. No question about it.
Absolutely.
Get one for your nan.
Help keep the ramble free by paying £2.49 for a special.
There we are. Now then, the highlights of the week.
Of the week. Here we go, chaps. So Dan Shoesmith, regular contactor of the show.
Big Dan.
Big forum user as well. He says, my highlight of the week is Liverpool to score over 4.5 goals, which is our bet of the week on Friday. Nice going, Steve. You've done a great charity out of £800, mate. Which he has.
He has,
very much so. Matt Tilby's been in touch about the Carlisle United players helping clean up people's homes. We've already talked about that. What else have we got here? Josh Osuro says, my highlight was listening to the Football Ramble a few weeks ago. The lesser players up their game in the absence of star player Mourinho, in much the same way as Suarez, Neymar and Iniesta shone while Messi was out. I think I'm right in saying that should get me on the show. Correct.
Did we ever discuss on air that mine and Marcus's show was one of the popularest shows?
Is that right?
Of this season.
Sorry, people didn't highlight the week of the moment,
That's my highlight of the year.
We don't need to prove ourselves. No. That's fine.
What have we got here? Oh, Paul Kwasi Apenteng says, alternatively, he's talking in context of the Liverpool better the week we had. Mm. He says, alternatively, winning big on a punt following the Ramble's revelation that the difference David Nugent yes! always scores against Ipswich.
Yeah.
So we mentioned on Friday, if you haven't heard it, that he's got now, well, at the time he had 14 in 13 games against Ipswich. Amazing record. Mm. Pompey should sign him back for the FA Cup third round.
Yeah, they should.
So we said, you've got to bet on him to score against Ipswich because he was playing for Middlesbrough at the weekend. And of course, he did indeed score and they won. So he said, I put all the winnings on the original stake. So I put all my winnings and my original stake on the bet of the week and now I'm out of pocket.
Oh, no.
Hashtag, that's what football do to you.
Does, yeah.
And two, just to wrap up, these are both very good. Will Donovan says, a Fortuna Dusseldorf player was abusive to a female referee who was sending him off. And the fact was, he got a lengthy ban and the club forced him to referee girls' matches to teach him that women have a place in football.
That's very good. Brilliant.
And last but by no means least, from Ben Delaney, my highlight was Otamendi playing alongside Di Michaelis, like the big German guy in Gladiator who fought while tethered to a corpse.
That's nice.
There you go.
There we are. Have we got time for a website roundup?
Yeah, I'll do that as well real quick. This is from the always excellent Kelly Wells, who's at Kelly_Wells on Twitter. She says, football reels from the shocking revelation that Tim Sherwood might not be the new Pep Guardiola after all. Suspicions that Spain's success is at least partly due to the Force is confirmed in recently discovered Star Wars footage. An exciting new use for Jovino's head has been found just in time for Christmas. Something we can all get behind. And Barcelona correspondent Gerard Piqué can't hide his merriment at the latest Real Madrid gaffe. And all that, as well as the usual weekend highlights and all that other stuff. Yeah, follow Kelly at Kelly_Wells.
There we are. Now, you know how to get in touch. Say it every week. The email, the Twitters, the Facebooks and all the rest of it. But do get on the Christmas special out on Friday.
Mm.
There we are. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Goodbye.
Oil. And it's goodbye from me.
And this weekend on Rock and Roll Football on Absolute Radio, we are following Watford as they head to Sunderland. John Champion's got kick-by-kick commentary from 3 o'clock after Russ brings you the build-up from 1:30. Right in store.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll wait around the duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster, Annette Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
In when the full-time whistle has whistled. Listen online, absoluteradio.co.uk. Love you, bye.